Welcome to The Good Stuff with the Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers. We are here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
I know. I was still bopping along to our entry song.
I know. I love it so
times.
Much.
I love it so that's much. All I'm going to do because even our producer just looked at me like, please don't sing. So noted.
It's just, can you also sing all the songs during the other breaks?
Or
it's really, there's something really special about good times.
There is
good
really,
stuff.
Right? Yes. I agree.
We love it.
I love that. It took us a while to find our show song, but that just,
once we did,
fit.
That was it.
It all synced up.
All right, what else is syncing up these days?
You know?
My God, we're already silly.
I know. It's already like end of January. Can you believe we're like almost done with the first full month?
I mean,
in
that's
2025.
That's reason alone to be happy. Like
yeah.
The end of January is also always like, okay, we got through it.
I always love to when you're able to start thinking about the days are now getting longer, not shorter.
Yes.
Like it's always fun to flip.
And
finally in December when you get to do that.
Baseball season's around the corner and all sorts of good things. So,
all sorts of good things. I know.
Got to get through January.
So, and we are also, not only is baseball around the corner, but basketball is in full swing.
So true.
Yeah. So we were just with the Rockets down in Houston this past week doing our second major activation with them, which was really fun. We did some sampling in one of their VIP suites that was just renovated this past year. And what's really fun is they do probably one of the best, I want to say, partner events I've gotten to experience. They call it the Night of MVPs, like valuable partners.
Got it. Funny
valuable
how that works.
Partners. But actually, it's so helpful because I think some of the added value we get when we go in and do these sports partnerships is actually connecting with their other sponsors and other partners. So we've been in conversations with Kroger's down in Texas, which is a big partner. We met them last year at sort of the MVP evening. But it's just exciting. The players are there, the coaches are there, the partners are there. And most importantly, Sonoma County Wine is there because we are the like official wine specifically of the evening. And so we were really excited. They were pouring, I'm just going to list it. They were pouring St. Francis Merlot, Bricolore Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, Trioni Sauvignon Blanc, and Null Cabernet Sauvignon. So we were
good lineup,
well represented. And then I like it because I get to be at an event and I know I'm drinking good wine. So.
Yeah, you don't have to sort of casually walk by and figure out if there's anything you can actually drink.
And they're knowledgeable, so it's not like, oh, do you want white or red? It's like, oh, here are our wine selections. What would you like to drink tonight? We're offering Pinot Noir or Cabernet, or do you want some Chardonnay or Sauvignon Blanc? So it's nice to have that experience when you're in a big arena like the Toyota Center.
What are you finding in a place like that, you know, this particular arena, but maybe the Houston market in general, like, are there preferences that are different than what we have here? Are people drinking a lot more red wine or white wine?
Red wine tends to be favored.
Okay.
They do ask often for, like, sweet wine, but I think it's, when they're describing that, I think it's more of about being fruit forward, not literally sugar in the wine or residual sugar in wine.
Yeah.
So I think it's more just an easy way, which to sort of describe that they like something that's like more robust and fruity versus, you know, a leaner or more restrained wine. So that's, lots of fun.
There's something for everybody.
I know. And we should mention, because we were able to talk about it at our annual meeting a couple weeks ago, but since we've started our partnership with the Toyota Center and the Rockets, we've gotten 15 wines placed on their list.
Amazing.
For Toyota Center. So they get 1.3 million visitors a year. So 15 wines to be poured at their sort of restaurant concessions or in their suites. So it's pretty exciting to now have a menu that has all these incredible wines on it, of course, from Sonoma County, and great for our wine partners who are actually moving cases of wine.
And so it goes to show that you just need to go where people like wine and introduce them to new things and they'll try them.
Yes. And find really good partners that are interested in, you know, sharing that story with their fans and their guests. So it's, you know, the partnership is important and the fan base is important.
Well, today's show is all about partnership So,
nice segue. I like that. Yes. So, very excited for our guest today, Sean Sundberg joining us from John Deere. And we have a lot of great stuff, good stuff, if you will.
Good stuff. I mean, we should elevate the show to just great stuff.
Great stuff.
It might be good if you could be great.
Exactly.
It's coming excellent next. Stuff.
Excellent
Tremendous
stuff.
Stuff.
The best stuff.
The best stuff. Okay.
On the best stuff.
On the best stuff, we'll be back with our guest, Sean Sundberg. On the good stuff, and today we are joined by Sean Sundberg, Business Integration Manager for John Deere, a very important partner with Sonoma County Wine Growers. Welcome, Sean.
How are you doing? Great to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Let's see. I mean, there's so much to talk about.
So much good stuff.
There's a lot of good stuff to talk about.
Good stuff,
I'm excited.
But I think you are based in California, is that correct?
I am, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So give us a little bit about kind of your background and your role with John Deere. What does a business integration manager do?
Everything.
Everything.
Yes. It's a great question.
As I've learned, everything.
No. It's a great question. One of my primary roles is to get cold called by Carissa. We can get into that a little bit later.
Wait a minute.
I would say, John Deere Company, getting close to 200 years as a company,
wow.
which is crazy to think about the longevity of the company and being focused on, you know, feeding, clothing, and sheltering the world. So there's really something noble about what we do, you know, at the highest level. I've been with Deere, luckily enough, for 30 years almost coming up. So
That's three decades,
pretty good run,
yeah.
Right? And I've always been focused on our customers, always been focused on our John Deere dealers and helping provide the most value to them that we can. Nearly always sales and marketing focused. As a business integration manager, I think the main thing that I do is I look at opportunities that exist typically within our high-value crop space. And when I say high-value crops, I'm talking wine grapes, I'm talking permanent tree nuts, citrus, all that stuff that isn't necessarily what you think of when you think of John Deere. A lot of people, when you think of John Deere, you think Midwestern large ag with corn and soybeans. This is the space that I'm focused on is primarily here in California, west coast of the U.S., globally as well, when you think about citrus production in Brazil or wine grape production in Australia, olives in Spain, etc. There's a lot of different opportunities globally, and it's a very large opportunity globally for John Deere if we can bring some technology to play, bring solutions to play that really provide value to our growers so that we can help them achieve the goals that they have. So in a long-winded sort of way, I am based here in California, in the Central Valley. I get to spend a lot of time up here in Sonoma County, which is great. I always love coming up here and visiting with growers up here. And I would say primarily looking at those opportunities to really bring transformative technology to this space to help our growers.
So, wait, I want to jump in a minute, though.
Yeah,
so you got to go further back than landing at John Deere. So where did you grow up and how did you...
Oh, you want all the gory details.
No. We got to, we need a little context.
Yeah, did you grow up in ag?
Yeah.
Fantastic. No, that's a great question. So I was born way too long ago, long enough that I have 30 years with John Deere. But I'm born in Texas. So a lot of family still in Texas. We actually have... some land in a small little ranch in North Texas. But I grew up mainly in Minnesota. So if you hear me say Minnesota, you're going to pick up on my accent there. But I did all my schooling in Minnesota, and I very quickly got tired of how snowy and dark and cold it is in the winter.
Yeah. That happened to me when I lived in Minnesota, too.
Yes, it has
a little
tendency
shorter
to do it.
Tenure. Yeah.
But I wanted to get out of the Midwest for university, and I went to University of Chapel Hill, North Carolina in Chapel Hill, and went through their business school. And growing up in Minnesota, I worked on a small dairy farm. So I got familiar with John Deere, working tirelessly through the year milking cows. And went to Chapel Hill, learned that John Deere had an office in Raleigh, North Carolina, and applied, got hired, and the rest is history. It's an amazing little story.
I mean, that's the longevity, I think, not just of you, but a lot of the John Deere employees is incredibly impressive. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a really, and it frankly, it matches the tenure we have of a lot of our employees in our vineyards here as well. And so I think there is something really unique about agriculture that if you are excited about it and called to it, it's something that really stays with you and you stay with it.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting to me too. Like, John Deere is certainly a household name. I mean, I think it's probably one of the best known names in agriculture, but people probably don't have a sense of how international the company is. I mean, you mentioned Australia and Spain and some of these other places where John Deere is very involved. Can you give us a sense of the scale of the company? Like, how big are you? How many employees? Like,
sure. We can definitely talk through that. So agricultural production is definitely global. And people need to eat everywhere we have people, right? So we bring our solutions there. Now, we do tailor, John Deere does tailor our market offering specific to the countries in which we're going to operate in. We have factories in Brazil. We have factories in Germany. We have factories, obviously, throughout here in the U.S. We have sales branches globally, whether it's Australia, Spain, France, Germany, England, big operations throughout Asia with factories in India. That's a very large tractor market is India for a lot of production ag, but they use smaller size tractors than what they do here in the Midwest. But so global presence is definitely something that we have and that we're focused on, because we do feel, even though there's core themes that run through agriculture, there are definitely different market needs that dictate different types of solutions, whether it's a rice combine versus a corn combine versus an 8-series tractor for southern Canada versus India, you know. So it's really exciting to be a part of. And I think that what you mentioned, Chris, is the passion. Mm-hmm. You have a passion for it, and you want to see it through and do the best that you can do. It's great to be in a market leading position. We're blessed to have that, but it all goes back to the hard work and the due diligence mm-hmm. that we have as we bring products to market and working through our dealers to provide the best support that that we can. I will share a story, though. When I started with Deere back in the mid-90s, you look at the people there and you're just taken aback by, everybody here has 30 years, 40 mm-hmm. years, and somehow I turned into one of them now. I don't know how that happened.
You blame fast.
But you transition in your career to a standpoint of one of my primary responsibilities is to make sure that that younger generation mm-hmm. that's now coming into Deere can carry the torch, so to speak, and move the business forward and do the things, being as technologically savvy as they are, to do the same things that we did that impact growers globally.
I'm curious about the high value crop segment of your business. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that, at least in the United States, is that where the growth is? Is that where you're seeing a lot more activity? I mean, obviously it's where you focus your time, but as a company, like, is that where the opportunity is?
We believe it's one of the primary opportunities, yes. And the high value crop space, as we went through, I'm going to dial it back about 4 or 5 years, we went through a major rethink strategically as a company, and we looked at opportunities, whether it was grain, whether it was livestock and dairy, hay and forage, you know, all that stuff. And we looked at high-value crops, and 25% of global ag production is constituted by a high-value crop. Mm-hmm. And it's not an area that we were really I wouldn't say we weren't focused on it, but it wasn't something that we're accelerating new solutions and driving business forward in. So we stepped back and took a look and said, okay, how do we do this differently? And because we feel where we believe large ag production ag and corn and soy has really gone through the evolution from a technology standpoint, high value crop side of that business has not yet. And we do believe that there are solutions that we have that we can modify and integrate and bring to markets that allow us to, and it's not really selfish from our part, but it's about bringing the solutions that allow these growers that are trying to grow their business, trying to be more profitable, trying to be more sustainable, give them the options to look at us a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. So along comes Carissa.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about how you reached out and your thinking. I mean, you're yeah. in charge of an organization that thinks a lot about high value crops. And so
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think Sean knows this all too well. We now joke a lot about it, but you know, we were, and Virginia, you were part of the beginning of all this, but when we first collaborated with Ford Motor Company and Ford Pro, when they launched the F-150 Lightning, and we were starting to really pilot what does electrification look like in agriculture, it was a game changer for me personally and how I think about what collaboration could look like or how we really help our growers long term. And I think it was a game changer as well for thinking about how we can outreach or frankly how we need partners and collaborators to help us reach frankly a sustainable future for agriculture. It doesn't matter if it's wine grapes or almonds or avocados or, you know, corn and soybeans. And it always kind of struck me that my perception, having grown up in the Midwest with my grandparents farming there, was that John Deere was much more focused and invested, I should say, in technology and advancement in equipment, evolution for big agriculture, not unlike most global companies that were focused on agriculture. Yeah. And it really was part of how do we get attention of a Ford Motor Company, the attention of a John Deere, and say, invest in specialty crops, invest in wine grape growers. Like, we need help. And I think that's like, how do you make that ask and then inspire interest in a partnership? So after we had the Ford Pro partnership and collaboration, I maybe got a little bolder.
Slightly.
Yeah, as you should.
As you should. And so I had literally found on it. And I knew, I mean, right, we joke, but right, like our farmers love their trucks, their tractors, and their dogs.
Yeah.
In any one of those orders, given the day or the moment or whatever. And so we knew with Ford, we had a fantastic truck, you know, partner. I joke that I was not going to get into the puppy business. I mean, that's a whole nother, I mean, it'd be quite fun. Yeah. And we've talked about getting an office puppy, but like, that's a whole nother thing. But really, there was a huge opportunity to find someone to help us think about equipment and innovation in equipment and technology. And John Deere was the natural, absolutely the natural, again, as a global leader. So I spent some time on their website. I found some email addresses and started emailing people within the John Deere organization. I'm sure they were thrilled. I got ghosted for, I think, the first 3 months or so. I had to be persistent. I was like, hey, Ford Pro took a chance on us. Here's our press release. We're legit. Like, because I felt like I was literally like, sorry, used car salesman.
Yeah, you got a name drop.
Used car salesman. But I was like, I was name dropping. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, I was in it. Like, I was, and I was going to ask for the biggest ask ever. But also as part of this, you participated in it, Virginie, we were planning our Farm of the Future Summit, which again was like, how do we invite and use kind of a symposium summit as a platform to get partners here that might then get to meet our farmers, learn about our challenges, and then work with us. And so, you know, I cast a wide net thinking that, hey, the CEO of Ford Pro has been working with us. Why not the CEO of John Deere, John May?
Like, it's true.
Let's just invite him. That'd be great. So after a lot of persistence, my email finally makes its way to Sean. And by title, I'm just going to say by title, business integration manager did not for me instill like, hey, you're running around with the CEO of the company. I'm just going to be honest.
Wasn't a warm and fuzzy.
It wasn't yeah. like, and no offense, but I wanted decision makers. And that was the crux of it. We wanted decision makers because it wasn't about selling new equipment to farmers. It was about bringing solutions that would change our business to farmers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we needed people in the room for the summit and needed partners who would be thinking in that mode. So my email finally arrived on Sean's in Sean's inbox, and then I'll maybe pause and let you pick up the story from your point of view, because I'm sure there was a bit of a scuttle going on in John Deere.
We've got 1 minute left before we have to take a quick break. So yeah, give us, you can start the story and we may have to cut you off.
Okay, I'll give you the quick and dirty version of it. We wanted to test her persistence to see if this was a real opportunity or not, and it did pay off.
Okay, did she outright ask you, like, are you a decision maker?
No, she did not. She asked me if, or she didn't really ask me. She said, well, we really only want to accept C-suite members of the company.
It wasn't like, we don't want you, it was that we want someone else.
Like, do you have access right. to other people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of which I did, but I replied back and I said, hey, let's take a first step and see where this yeah. can go. Here's my bio. I've been with Deer and Ag for nearly 30 years at that point, and we have an interest, and we think we can help, and we want to be a part of it. And she slowly came around to accepting me as a decision maker and somebody that could help along this journey.
All right, quick break.
Yes.
And we'll come back and hear the rest of the story on the Good Stuff with Sean Sundberg from John Deere. And when we left, you were in the middle of telling a story about
teaching me patience, I think is what that was.
Well, and earning your trust. It also sounded like, here's my bio. Here's, I've been here 30 years. Yes, I'm worthy.
So I would say that the persistence that Carissa exuded as she navigated through
A large company
to find a primary point of contact was definitely set her apart from others. Others may have given up on us. I'm glad you didn't.
Me too.
And I'm certainly glad that your email made it to me and that we were able to get me and John Deere Company involved in the Farm of the Future event. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a fantastic example of how you bring industry partners together to focus on, you know, pretty important issues that people are facing and growers are facing here in Sonoma County. I think that's when you look at, you know, John Deere's bread and butter, Midwestern Ag. We all know, hey, we got these challenges. Here's what we're trying to remedy. What we can do to help growers meet their goals and objectives. It was eye opening to me that the same types of issues exist here in California in the wine grape growing region of Sonoma County. I had no idea.
Yeah, and I think that is actually the first point of almost education for partners is there is this perception that wine grapes are not, they're not always put in the same category as just agriculture, right? They're all, and it makes sense in some ways. Yeah. That's a benefit because we do, at the end of the day, have a consumer product. It is a luxury good, and interesting, it has Sonoma County on a label and often the vineyard name on a label. So there's a really unique opportunity to tell a story through wine about agriculture that doesn't exist in really any other crop. I mean, if you think about it, if you went to the store and bought corn and had it for dinner last night, unless you were at a farmer's market, you probably have no idea which farmer, who grew that corn for you, right? So it's sort of this unique responsibility and also opportunity when it comes to agriculture. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the challenges are the same, like operational efficiency, rising costs, labor attraction, and just where do you go next in terms of needing innovation and understanding, like, our vine rows are different spacing than orchards and, you know, how do you take equipment that and seasonal? And we don't do the same thing like a dairy does every day. There's a routine every day. I actually heard John Bucher, who's a grower, say something really profound that, like, he was a dairy farmer as well as a grape grower. And he's like, you know, dairy farming, you farm daily. In grape growing, you farm seasonally. And that is a dramatic difference in our need for those different seasons. So we were very excited. I might have been doing a lot of happy dancing, which is not pretty to watch.
Is it kind of like Snoopy when Snoopy dances?
It is a little bit, yeah.
Or Peppermint Patty, maybe?
Peppermint Patty, there you go.
It's a lot like that, so I don't really do it publicly. Sadly, my team just has to put up with it, but we were doing a lot of happy dancing at the office when Sean, we finally connected, and we knew that you were going to come to our Farm of the Future Summit, and then things moved quickly. after that. And so,
do you think they moved quickly? Because I think I ghosted you for a couple months after that as we tried to get our ducks in a row.
Well, that happened. Well, you came back quickly with like the entire leadership team
a couple weeks.
So I was very excited. I was like, we're doing this.
Yeah, and then, this is happening.
Then the ghosting happened. And I was like, where did he go? Mm. Like, you just had 12 people here. Like, what happened?
So a little bit more context there. We did the Farm of the Future. I fell in love with the opportunity to understand more of the opportunities, the pressures, the plans, the problems that the growers face. And I was sold on it day one that we needed to be involved to a higher degree. So we had gone through some organizational change and new manager and staff. And I was like, let's bring them to Sonoma County.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Never what better place to go? Yeah. So we went and we came out and met everybody, all the growers, spent some really good quality time together, and really got to dive deep on what the opportunity could look like. And then at the end of dinner, to my new manager that was in the role for about 7 days, Krista said, hey, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you want a partner or not?
She's good at that.
She was not afraid. I have to give her credit. Yes. And
I may have had a glass or two of Chardonnay also, which gives me a little. I had some wine courage.
I don't think that matters.
Wine courage.
It's in you.
It was in me. Yeah.
But as we left that event, so we didn't provide an answer immediately.
They didn't say no, which
was
important.
They didn't say no because we were all like, we have to find a way. So it took us a little while, a couple months, to figure out how to get our ducks in a row to make the most valuable pitch internally. And then we came back in, I think it was mid-January.
Early January.
Because
it's right before dollars and cents.
That's right. Yep. And we said, hey, we're ready.
Yes.
And then?
I know, because I did. I kept being like, hey, just checking in. Just a friendly reminder. I'm still here. I'm probably not going to go away.
So,
we knew that.
Get a partner
we knew
or
that.
Not?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was great. So it was right before Dollars and Cents last year, which we obviously just wrapped up Dollars and Cents this year, where we were able to bring the team back. Mm-hmm. At that point, we had identified 6 pilot farmers through this kind of living lab model that would be willing to sort of partner, test a piece of equipment, a technology, and also share data, which I think there's a lot of unique things about grape growers and grape growers in Sonoma County, but this idea of how collaborative our farmers are here and how willing they are to have real conversations and share with each other kind of what their business model is. I haven't seen that necessarily in other ag in my experience.
I would agree.
It's pretty unique.
Very unique.
Yeah. So we were excited. So then it was the chance for Sean and others at John Deere to meet sort of the pilot farmers that would be part of this. And then last year in January of 2024, we were able to announce our new collaboration.
And here we are, almost a year.
A little over a year's past.
So talk a little bit about what the collaboration is, because you've got these pilot farmers, and maybe, I don't know if you want to mention who they are, just so people kind of have that association, but also then, what are they piloting?
Yeah, so I'll maybe mention the farmers, and then you can maybe talk about what we launched with. So we do, you know, just as a model to talk about kind of our living lab is to find pilot farmers that are interested in whatever. So we kind of always start with, like, who, in this case, is already a John Deere user, because there had to be some sort of knowledge and working background and history with John Deere as a company, sort of loyalty as well. Yeah. It makes sense. So John Deere customers are our farmers. And then we really selected different models. So it was like, it's always nice, and we know it's really, our vineyard management companies are really important in Sonoma County. They farm a lot of the small ranches all around the county, as well as big ones. So having a model of having a couple of vineyard management companies, but then also some smaller growers that are maybe just farming their own ranches. They may sell grapes or just use their own fruit. So kind of like, and around the county. So you're dealing with different sort of climate and soils, et cetera. So we kind of piece this puzzle together. So in this case, if you head out to Sonoma Valley, we were working with the San Giacomo family, and then coming in was Saras Ranch. We were in out in Russian River Valley with the Duttons, and then we've been working with Redwood Empire Vineyard Management in Bevel, and then going all the way up north to Alexander Valley with Munsell. So there were our 6 collaborators for the pilot. So, and maybe we can just, I know we have about 2 minutes before we need to take a break, but you want to just start with kind of the first round?
We can definitely do that. I would say it was when we made the announcement and got ready to engage, We brought the team back up here, and I knew what we were in for. I don't know that the rest of the team did. When we got off the van, and there's video cameras, there's all kinds of stuff going on, and we're like, oh, what did we get going in here? So it was an outstanding opportunity to spend really some more quality time mm-hmm. with the collaborator growers that we're going to work with, and just to understand their operation and what it all meant to them. And it was eye-opening to every single one of the John Deere employees that was there that these wine grape growers are farmers through and through, the fifth, sixth generation mm-hmm. farming families. Yep. Blew us away, and their affinity for John Deere was through the roof. And there was no way we could possibly say no. I mean, it was an amazing Woo-hoo. Opportunity.
Okay. Well,
mic drop on that one.
All right. So the mic drop, then we'll take a quick break and come back and talk more with Sean. Back to talk more about the partnership between John Deere and Sonoma County wine growers. So, Sean, you could not say no. Then what?
We could not say no. It was an absolute yes. So we had some thoughts on what we could do to bring what we felt was an immediate impact and benefit to the collaborator growers. And that was to work with a company that provides sustainability and precision agriculture application in wine grapes. And that company's name is Smart Apply. They're a wholly owned John Deere entity now. And we wanted to bring that technology to the growers here because we do understand how important the sustainability aspect of wine grape growing is. And not just from a pure environmental standpoint, but also from, hey, I want to be good stewards of the land.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that this is, when I leave this to my next generation, that it's in the best, most pristine shape that it can be. So we wanted to bring this technology. We wanted to prove it out to the growers and show them that, hey, you can use this technology that has basically the ability to go and transform your air blast sprayer, no matter what age. I think Bevel's was like 45-year-old air yes. blast sprayer that we upgraded so that you have nozzle-by-nozzle control of the application of the material that you're applying to protect and nurture your wine grapes and the vines. And it's all driven by a LiDAR. So that LiDAR basically senses where the foliage is at, and it'll only spray there. So you apply the chemical material in that right amount, and it can reduce the amount of material you're applying on average throughout the year 40 some odd percent is what we've seen. I think during our trial because we got started a little bit later,
we kind of missed the first or second spray.
We still were able to help save 30% of material cost, which is a big number.
Yeah, it's a big number.
In the first year, I mean, seeing immediate results like that is
so you think about the operational efficiency, and then this year we're really focused on tracking sort of the trickle-down benefits of like, okay, that's less tractor time, that's mm-hmm. less diesel fuel being burned, that's less flips back to the home ranch.
Less water being applied.
Like mm-hmm. all of those things that kind of are the benefits beyond just what gets read as like literally spray in, spray out kind mm-hmm. of mechanism to really showcase what's the long-term value as we try to help our growers and farmers understand how they make investments in equipment, technology moving forward. Like, where do they go?
Mm-hmm.
Where do they spend their money to get the best return?
So what else is ahead for the next phase of this partnership?
So they worked me over pretty good for year two. I think the main thing is that, hey, we didn't get a full season, because once we got into late January, we had to get everything going and rolling. And we missed, I think, the first sprayer too, right?
Yeah.
So the growers all came back and said, hey, we want to do a full season and trial. Truly mm-hmm. yep. test it and get the benefits of it, but also help John Deere figure out exactly what we are going to get on this side of the business for that. So we're going to do year two, and then we also are working to integrate what we would say the pathway toward autonomy in terms of technology, Precision Ag Essentials Toolkit, that we want to test with some of the larger wine grape growers in the collaboration so that they can start gathering the data that's going to really help lay that pathway for mm-hmm. what we feel is going to come down the road. So I think a lot of opportunity just on the data side of things, and then also on Smart Apply itself. I would also be remiss if we didn't mention that we do have the Sonoma County wine grape growers all part of the John Deere Partner Rewards program. Yes. So we're trying to drive not just benefit of, hey, using some technology, but also as you look at your portfolio of product and equipment, that you can enjoy some of the best discounts that we have available.
Yeah. And the best part about this collaboration is we didn't put a timeline on it. So he basically committed to John Deere,
to Sonoma County
wine growers for life.
To forever.
There's a big, you know, we carved out John Deere and Sonoma County wine growers in a tree on every,
big heart around
yeah.
it.
All the tractor, and on the tractors.
And all the tractors.
Too, you know, property
you know,
of Sonoma County wine growers.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, it's all good. So I think a lot of great stuff ahead. I know we have to take a quick break, but we'll come back and wrap up with Sean and our collaboration with John Deere.
Fantastic.
So much to look ahead to with this partnership, Sean. It's been great just having you on and hearing about this. So anything else that we missed? Anything coming up?
I would say just one thing. I think that Carissa and team have recognized about John Deere is that we do enjoy our Sonoma County wines.
They do. And I can confirm that.
And
I think all the partners
and we
do.
Want more of that.
Yes.
And
which we want to give you more of that.
And there's a couple things we're going to explore. The possibility of doing a John Deere wine club,
yes.
I think would be really, really neat for our employees.
Yes.
Amazing.
And
yeah.
open up doors for Sonoma County wine growers. And then I also think that there's an opportunity. John Deere has a foundation, as does Sonoma County.
Yep.
And I think there's some opportunity to really focus what we can do to help, I would say, elevate and train farm labor community
mm-hmm.
to go on to bigger and better things within yep. the ranches that they work on. I think I love that aspect of what I was exposed to, and I think there's mm-hmm. something we can do there.
And we just got our employee survey back right before, at the end of last year, and one of the number one things they want to learn how to do, I think 39% of vineyard employees said they want to learn how to drive a tractor.
Fantastic. So, we can help make that happen.
Well, you got the right partner for
right?
that. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and it is now coming up. We got to do a kind of a rapid round of
yeah.
our Tuesday night wine. So, Virginie, what are you going to have? What's your good stuff wine
I'm
for Tuesday
I'm going fast.
Night?
I'm going for a Donnellan 21 Cardiac Hill Syrah, Bennett Valley. Like the name, like the grape, like the producers. So
done. Sean, what are you going to do?
Dutton Goldfield Pinot all the way.
Love it. Going with our collaborators. I'm also going to stick with one of our John Deere collaborators, Saras Ranch, and I'm going to be doing their 2018 Watrous Blend. And it's an awesome wine, and they've been a great John Deere collaborator with us.
Absolutely, so. They have, and I've had that Watrous, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I know you like that one.
And so lastly, I think just to, you said the John Deere Rewards Program for Sonoma County grape growers. More can be found out at deere.com, deere.com.
And also on our Sonoma County Wine Growers website, so sonomawinegrape.org. And we have lots of information about our collaboration, all the press releases, videos, everything there.
Okay. Well, I think we've done it. There's much more to come, and we'll have to look forward to some more conversations with our guest, Sean Sundberg, from John Deere. And that's it. From Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Good time.